It's The Broker Show. We're talking real estate, investing, local market trends, feel-good stories, mindsets, and strategies for success. Let us know what you want to talk about, and chances are we will. Hosted by The Broker Joe and co-hosted by Etch.
Hey, it's The Broker Joe. Welcome to The Broker Show. I have a PSA for everyone this morning. We're going to start right into it. I went golfing this morning, Etch.
Did you?
And we were out there 8:30. Pretty early.
Yeah.
Stretching, teeing off, getting warmed up on the first tee, and this guy comes screaming across the parking lot, across the street from a house over there. And he's screaming, "Don't walk on the grass." And we're like, "What? Who is this guy? What is this guy?" Right? We're like, "What?" He comes over and it's frosted hard last night. It's everywhere. And he comes over and he goes, "You can't walk on the grass. You're going to kill it if you walk on it while there's frost." And I'm like,
I have no idea.
What? So me and Ben, my brother, I'm there with my three brothers. Ben's like, "We've been golfing our whole life. Where's this coming?" He goes, "Well, yeah, I wasn't, you know," he said some things, right? And to his credit, I mean, we look like a, you know, we were out there with hoodies. It was cold, right?
Yeah,
it was cold. She's like, "Who are these guys?" Right? So while he is emphatically telling us, "Don't walk on the grass, you'll kill the grass." So I'm sitting there Googling it on my phone, like, what is he talking about? I've never heard of this. Sure enough, Etch, if you walk on the grass when it's frosty, you will kill it. There's veins inside of the leaves, the little leaves that explode.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I think that that I'm going to start making sure that my dogs are not allowed to walk on the grass in the morning anymore because I just put in like $50 into fertilization for my own grass.
This year already?
Yeah, I've already put it down.
This spring?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Well, I was reading about it and I had no idea, but I was looking up in Michigan.
Yeah.
When is the best time to fertilize your lawn during the spring? And it said, weather permitting, February through the end of March. And then they said that soaks up all that nutrients. Mm-hmm. And they said you may have to reapply in May because for that first sprout, it takes all of its energy and all of its what they're called reserves to grow up. And then you have to refertilize beginning of summer to get it so that it maintains a nice, lush, greeny goodness.
I wish you wouldn't have told me that.
I know. Now, see, I'm that guy.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this information.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. So the dogs, now that I know that you can't step on grass during the frost,
keep them straight off of it.
I'm going to be like, y'all are holding it till at least, I don't know, 10:30, 11 o'clock when that sunshine hits.
Exactly.
So, sorry.
Yeah.
Hold your poo.
So there's your PSA for today. I hope this information has been very helpful, changing your life. That's why we're here, Etch. We're here to change people's lives,
I
man.
I needed more anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm going to be dreaming, thinking about how I should be out fertilizing my lawn.
Yeah, you should. You should.
If Etch is doing it, I for sure need to be doing it.
Mine is pretty much all brown right now. So
mine too, for sure.
You know how it works. So what's today's episode?
Hot pockets and hot markets.
Gotcha.
Here we go. And the reason we're talking about this, by the way, if you haven't already, go like us, go follow us on Instagram, go like us on Facebook, The Broker Joe, The Broker Show, and on Twitter as well. And we want to hear from you. One of the reasons we're hitting this episode today, Hot Pockets Make Hot Markets, is because I've had some questions the last 2 weeks especially. And not to belabor the point, but what's happening right now, we've said, amazing, unprecedented, and unbelievable for year after year after year. Well, this year I'm out of adjectives. I'm out of adverbs. I'm out.
Yeah.
It is incredible what's happening in areas you wouldn't expect it to. Rural areas, out of the way, hard to get to areas. Those houses, multiple offers, over asking price, doubling what they sold for 5, 6, 7 years ago, right?
It's crazy.
It is absolutely crazy. So why is this happening? What's in the back of everyone's mind is the crash from 2008. It's in the back of all of your mind. It's in the back of our mind, all the agents. What is this real? Is it going to all pop again like the bubble of 2008? So we're going to target some of that with some good, cold, hard data. Okay?
Yep.
Let's lay some groundwork first. So why are the prices going up? Why are houses going up? Is it because of the injection of liquidity because of the stimulus?
Could be.
Is it giving people money for those down payments and they're doing RD loans and VA and FHA loans that are low money down or zero money down, right? And what is driving this? There's a lot of things I've heard, but let's talk about reality here. So in 2008, a lot of things changed. The federal government really cracked down on the way that loans were written, underwritten. A lot more stringent since then. There's this thing called the Mortgage Credit Availability Index, the MCAI. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people are familiar with it, but those people in the stock market, especially invested in the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac side of things, are very, very interested in this mortgage, this Mortgage Credit Availability Index, right?
Yep.
Now, what this index measures, when it was installed, I believe, in the early 90s, it started at a baseline of 100, right? 100 points. This is average, right? So yep. If 100 is the starting point, over or under is basically the variations in how much credit is available, the mortgage strength of the collective population of any given country, area, county, so on and so yep. forth. So nationally, back in, I believe, 2002-03, the index was around 400, okay? 400, okay. Way up, right. Way, way, way up. Then its peak was in 2007, right before the crash. And again, we've all heard the stories. People can walk right into the bank and get a loan with hardly anything. You have a pulse. You can shake a hand. You want to buy a house, a car. You want to wrap a boat in. You want to rack a set. Let's do it, right? Mm-hmm. Anything that you want, we're going to wrap up into your home.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, what people don't understand is that it was the equity. It was the equity crunch that led to the housing crash, right?
Yeah.
It was the massive equity crunch. So people not only were stretched thin because of the lax qualifications, mm-hmm. right? Barely making it all across the board.
Yep.
But also they had, when the market went down, there was no recovery because there was no equity. There was no buffer zone for mm-hmm. them, right? So we're going to talk about those two things and how they've changed. Now, the peak of the Mortgage Credit Availability Index was 868. Now, you start at 100.
Yep.
And you go to 868. Everyone's getting credit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Then the market crashed. Everything tightened up. Everything changed. People were like, credit score? What's that? Right? Now, we all know what a credit score is, don't we? Right?
Unfortunately, yes.
Sure. So that's when Credit Karma was birthed, and all the years ensuing, everything reshaped around credit responsibility, accountability, and the way that the markets work, especially in regards to housing and underwriting, mm-hmm. completely reshaped, transformed, okay? Right. So what is the MCAI today? 128 as of this week.
So much, much lower than
it
that.
It is much lower.
Yeah.
So it's better. It's tighter than it was in 2002, mm-hmm. that it is way tighter than 2008. We're very close to actually historical lows mm-hmm. since that 100, right? So if we're at a 120 something, right?
Yep.
Then what is going on? We have a relatively shallow amount of people that qualify for that availability index. Now, it doesn't directly reflect the amount of people. It reflects how difficult the difficulty level, right? So you might have a class of 20 students and they might all pass a very difficult test. Mm-hmm. So they still all passed, but the test is still more difficult, yep. right? The availability is shallower. So there's one side of the picture, mm-hmm. okay? Now, you ready for a mind-blowing stat? This is incredible. Okay?
Lay it on me.
All right, Etch, if you had to guess how many homes in the United States were completely paid off, no debt whatsoever, give me a number. Give me a percentage.
Out of all, do you want a percentage?
All the homes in the entire United States, what percent of them have zero debt? Zero.
I'm going to say, out of all the homes, probably, I would say sub 1%.
Yeah. So I would have guessed before this information came out. Now, I've had the luxury of seeing data right. and studying data like this. So coming from someone, you sound exactly like the yeah. vast majority of people I talk right. to. Everyone's got a mortgage. What mm-hmm. are you talking about?
Yeah.
Right?
It's like a car payment.
Yeah. Yeah.
College
sure.
Student
sure.
loans. Yeah.
So 38%.
What?
I know.
A lot of
you
Dave
can
Ramsey
look this
guys
up.
Out there.
Yeah. I know a lot of it. So guys like Dave Ramsey have transformed the way that
yes.
we view equity, right?
Mm-hmm.
38% of the houses in this country are paid off.
Jeez.
Paid off. That is an all-time high. Now, right? Yeah, go.
Do you think that has to do with, like, maybe inheritance houses, too?
There
like,
are inheritance homes. There are second homes.
Yeah.
There are let's say, investment housing.
Right.
We have portfolios with some of the equity built into one or two houses. The mm-hmm. rest of them are paid off, right?
Right.
To move equity around, right?
So that all goes into that percentage.
It all goes into that. This
right.
is housing. But the thing is, from a market standpoint, mm-hmm. when you look at the mass pool of equity and you say 38% of that is debt-free, that is incredible. That is absolutely incredible. So you look back at 2007 and 8 when it was under 5%, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone was in debt. This yep. is what it was, cars and it was debt and it was mortgages and it was living the American dream off of your house. And meanwhile, your house equity is not only non-existent, but it's underwater over and over again, right? Yep. Then we have reverse mortgages and all these things coming out, right?
Yep.
So 38%. Now, here's another amazing stat. 17.8 million homes in the United States are equity rich. So equity rich means that I've got at least 50% or more equity in my home. Okay. Mm-hmm. That means I owe whatever my home is worth, I owe less than 50% of that amount. Okay.
Right.
So when you add the 17.8 million together with the 38% that have their homes paid off, mm-hmm. you have a total of 56.7% of homes in the United States that are equity rich. Okay. Wow. They have more than half of the equity in their home. So these are cold, hard facts that, and again, I know that may be hard for some of our listeners yeah. to believe. You can go Google these things. You can go do the research. Go to Keeping Matters Current. Go mm-hmm. to go to some of these sites that show, they pull this data from the federal government and other sectors that are keeping very close tabs and eyes on these things. So there is more equity. So much has changed. So much of the way that we, our practices, our financial habits have changed. And you know who's changing it, Etch? Millennials.
Isn't that crazy? Because, I mean, it they get such crazy. A bad rap.
They get a they horrible, do. Horrible rap. But here's what's happening. And I'm sure our listeners can actually testify to this. So back during the crash, mm-hmm. millennials were like, housing ain't crap. Mm-hmm. We're going to rent, yeah. right? Housing sucks. We're going right. to live in our parents' basement, right? And so that's where the whole millennial rap came from. They're living in the basement. They're living out of their car. They're living in an apartment, right?
They were saving.
They were getting degrees. Mm-hmm. They were getting education. Yep. They were building credit. And what is happening now is that two-thirds of the homes that have been sold in the past 12 months have been in that millennial to that beginning boomer age group, that yeah. 30 to 45, mm-hmm. two-thirds of them have been. They are what's driving this crazy jump. And here's what's happening, Etch. All those millennials, they're turning 35,
yep.
36, 37.
Must be nice.
So So they're now, that is the new time,
yeah.
right? That is when the millennials want to start families.
Yep.
That's when the millennials are settling into jobs mm-hmm. long term. That's when they're settling into their careers, yep. right? And so now we have all these extended college times and all these things that have pushed the cart further down the road, but it's hitting hard right now. That is who's spending money.
Yep.
And you know what? They're making long-term decisions. Mm-hmm. They're making long-term decisions. I've seen it all the time. I see we list a house, the neighbor says, "You're crazy. There's no way this house is worth that. You're absolutely insane." Here comes a millennial, a professional, putting 30, 40% down, mm-hmm. buying the house over asking prices. "I don't care. I'm going to be here 10, 15 years."
Right.
Right? "I don't care. I'm putting 30, 40% down.
Yeah.
I'm going to have equity in my home." We see this all the time. Now, I understand there are a lot of great programs out there that people are utilizing. 0% down. Mm-hmm. 3.5% down FHA, right? They're putting low money down. But you know what a lot of them are doing? They're keeping the rest of their cash in their 401k. They're keeping yes. it in their stocks. Yep. They're keeping it invested elsewhere where they can get greater leverage. They're not worried about paying the 5 or 6%. The interest rates are so low, right? So here's another great point. Unaffordable at mm-hmm. 6%. A house, but at 3%, it's a steal. So the younger generations get the how powerful the interest rates are. And I'm not saying the older ones don't. I'm saying that it's really, people are very interest rate conscious right now.
Yep.
Right? So it's really not about the price of the house. It's about the affordability of the house.
Yep.
Right? So really, if I'm buying a $200,000 house at 6% interest, I would rather pay $250,000 for it at 3% interest right. all day long. I'm saving $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 long term over the life of the loan in interest just because of lower interest rate. It's
good
incredible.
Thing. Yeah.
So this is what's happening. This is breaking out. Interest rates are so low. All these millennials are charging hard into the market. They're taking up home ownership, and home construction can't keep up. Mm-hmm. It cannot keep up with the demand. So those three factors, there's three big factors that we're really focused on right now. It's that, number one, housing supply is low. Foundational truth, where mm-hmm. we are right now. Housing supply is low. Number two, demand is at an all-time high, right? Mm-hmm. For the same housing.
Right.
And then number three, the MCAI says, you know what? Credit is still tight. We're still keeping the gate shut, and we're not letting everyone just flood in and saturate us with these horrible loans again. So these three things combined point to, and I'm not saying later this year, that there might be a dip, there might be a change, there might be an adjustment in the market. But long term, and I say short to long term, what we see is the incredible building of equity in this country, and especially in our local market. So for those in our local market interested in this, Western Michigan is in really, really good shape.
Yeah.
We are in good shape for a long time. And there's a lot of other areas around the country. People are moving out of the cities to the suburbs. People are leaving the coast. And a lot of that has been driven by COVID-19 and the fact that people's jobs are going virtual, mm-hmm. right? My neighbors, I just sold them a house. They're from Utah, Salt Lake City.
Right.
Right. They sold their house on a city block and bought a house with acreage that was probably twice the size. Mm-hmm. They're thrilled, right? It was a swap, and the guy,
and it's a commute.
Right.
Well, I was just reading in Silicon Valley. There's a bunch of these tech giants and stuff. I forget exactly what company it was, but they were just talking about how 100% of their employees are now going to be remote.
Incredible.
They sold their entire building. They said, we're getting rid of it. Think of how much mass like that in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
A giant building.
Isn't that incredible?
Housing something. I think it was like McAfee or something like that. It was like an antivirus
place.
No
kidding.
I don't remember. Don't quote me on that one. But it was something like that. Mm-hmm. It was like those antivirus companies. Yeah. That sort of thing. Norton something.
Yep.
And I think one of them, they just said, nope, everyone's going, we're going all virtual.
Wow.
Everybody can work from home. You can work remotely. That's fine. We're selling this building.
Yeah.
Think of how many millions of dollars they got out of that building in Silicon Valley, a huge place right in the middle of, you know, tech USA. Yeah. And then they said, hey, go ahead. Go live wherever you want. That's cool. We'll still hire you. You still got a job here.
Dude,
kicking you out.
It's the new world. You know, dress shirt on top, pajamas on the bottom. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I'm wearing leopard print. I'm wearing leopard print right now.
I'm really not. I'm wearing my bikini briefs right now.
No.
Let me stand. Just kidding.
Yeah, right. Don't know. Sorry. We're sorry.
So just listening on Spotify is like, thank God it's not the video. Guess what? Once Spotify gets video, y'all are done.
There you go. So consumer confidence is up.
Yes.
You know, the fundamentals are all there. They're incredible, right? And so here's the questions. Will interest rates stay low?
Mm-hmm.
Is the Fed going to keep printing money and throwing it at us, right? Will new homes be built to satisfy this demand?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. For those of you listening out there, the purpose of this podcast, I want to explain what's going on. It's a lot of what's driving the market like it is right now and what I see coming down the road. But I also, I'm not encouraging irresponsibility, mm-hmm. right? What I had to say is this equity is created by hard choices, a lot of Taco Bell, right? A lot of discipline.
Buy me a Taco Bell.
Right? And by saving, creating equity, creating mm-hmm. space, right?
Mm-hmm.
For you to put the 20% down so you don't pay the PMI,
right?
And it's those habits that are leading to people be able to make the offers they are, to be able to purchase the homes they are. And so there is a gap that's being created, Etch, and it does concern me. So the gap between people that say, forget it, I'm not saving, I'm gonna rent forever, screw housing, all that stuff, right? And mm-hmm. the people that are going, no, I'm going to save. I'm going to do this the right way if it takes me 5 or 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage you, focus on the things you can control. Focus on defense, guys, right? So there's so many areas that you can focus on defense. A mindset of defense when you're saving, when you're trying to position yourself for success in the marketplace does have to do with being on defense, controlling the things you can control, making sure that you're saving money, spending it right, not making knee-jerk decisions, right? Get the cheaper car, right? Go out there and be intentional. Don't take the first job that's thrown at you. Make sure you squeeze out that extra dollar or two. It can make a really big difference. And then one day, you're going to be able to go on the offense like so many people are right now, right? Save money, keep your cash. Don't put yourself at the mercy of a bad month or a bad 3 months, right? So that is what I'm seeing. And there's this kind of budgeting fallacy that I see that is dwindling. But, you know, budgeting is dangerous when we find a place to spend every penny.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's the thing about traditional budgeting that I really don't like, is that you're not creating space, right? They're not creating white space for you to save and for you to do, make those investment type decisions. You're going, okay, how can I spread every penny out? Oh, look, I've got an extra $25. Let's go buy a moped, right? I mean, this is the way many people have thought. It's the way to get in trouble, right? Yep. So budget to create space in your life so you can save, so you can make that offensive move to get in on the equity, to build equity the right way. It's happening all the time right now.
Now, when comparing back with the market basically the bubble bursting back in 2008, the big crash. Yeah. We talk about millennials and how they've really kind of spurred this along, but there's more people who are even older than millennials who are sitting there saying, "Hey, I'm about to retire. I got all this extra money.
Yeah.
I'm gonna supplement it because my IRA, I didn't really have that good of a return. So real estate's where I want to go."
Correct.
When I think back, if you really think back to like 2006, 2007, the internet wasn't really what it is now.
It was not.
And I feel like people are educating themselves more at home than they were back then. Because if you think about it, YouTube is less than 20 years old.
Yeah.
It's like, what, 15? Like maybe a little over 15. But it wasn't something that even people went to to find a lot of their information. Google was just starting to get that. When it was 2005, I remember one of my college professors coming in and talking to me about Gmail. Yeah. And I said, "What's Gmail?" He goes, "Oh, dude, it's invite only. It's in beta testing right now." I was like, "Well, can you send me an invite?" He's like, "I don't know." And she's like, "You got to be one of my top students for that." And I was like, "Google, dude, seriously? Oh, Google. It sounds so stupid and silly." But now people, like, they educate themselves more. And I feel like maybe that might be a little bit of a difference. And that might be like a huge game changer for people now because there's more information out there. There's more people who are learning to do, and I don't want to say like we're like something special, but they're learning like content creators who are spreading knowledge more than there was back in 2006, 2007, 2008 when this whole housing bubble popped, and people are looking for more now. They're doing and educating themselves more than our grandfathers were able to.
Yes.
And I mean, so it's millennials are great. I think they started all this, but I think more people like our parents, people like that are starting to jump on the information highway now and saying, yeah, I want to know more about it rather than just dumping in and listening to what a lender is going to tell me just to make, you know, a certain percent of interest.
Yeah. I think that overall knowledge is, obviously knowledge is fantastic. If we have to utilize it, right? Yep. We have to stay motivated. We have to pursue it. And we have to, we do have to sort it sometimes, right? We're just a couple guys on here giving opinions. But the fact, if you're listening to this, that should tell you enough to know you're pursuing knowledge, right? And we don't have it all, but we do have some good hard data today for you. And I hope it means something to you. You know, don't take the first step wrong. If you're thinking about getting into real estate, or you're in it and you're trying to decide if you're going to make your next bigger move, do the research. Don't force the numbers to work, right? There's this thing in real estate we joke about. It's called eraser math. Okay. And, if there's numbers we don't like, we just go, I'll just erase that. We'll fudge it to make it work, right?
Sounds like my whole high school math.
Okay. That is called eraser math. Yeah, and banks did all kinds of eraser math back in 2008, right? That's why we had this problem.
Right.
It's because banks were doing it. That's true irresponsibility, right? Yep. So don't do eraser math. Be conservative. Make sure you're looking at things and making, no, I'm not fudging it. I'm not going with best case scenario every time across the board.
Sure.
Right? I'm going to be responsible. But gosh, real estate, it's an amazing, amazing thing. It really, really is. It's tremendously blessed me. And I'm just happy to share some of what we've learned along the way.
That, folks, is what we are here for.
That's right. That's why we're here, yours truly.
It's what we do, what we do. Actually, you do what you do. I'm just sitting here pressing buttons.
You know,
I know nothing about this. I'm what we call a color commentary guy. I hold the mug, I press the button, and smile.
the right opportunity is going to come your way. the right opportunity. You might feel impatient, right? That's our tendency. Oh, I'm so impatient. Yep. We talked about red lights last week. Take your red light. Take it on the chin. Research, learn, grow, and the right opportunity is going to present itself, right? I just had a friend that said, hey, my grandpa just up and decided they've been looking for a house. Nothing quite right.
Sure.
Dave Ramsey people, actually. There it is. Nothing quite right. Not quite the right fit. And she says, my grandpa wants to sell us 40 acres with a house. I'm not going to tell you the number, but it was incredible.
Yeah.
An incredible deal.
Yeah.
She's like, Joe, I think it's time. And I said, oh, this is what you've been waiting for. right? So be patient. The opportunity is going to come your way. It's positioning yourself now, because when the opportunity comes along, it's too late to prepare, right? It's going to be gone in a minute.
What do they say? If you're waiting for the PR on something, then you're late to the party.
Correct. Yep. Correct.
Be in before it hits.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Well, Etch,
I bid you adew.
I think that's a wrap. Hey, guys, thanks so much for listening to us. Yap. We would love you to follow us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Again, I keep saying that, but we love engagement. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts, your opinions. Even if you disagree, we'd love to chat back at you. And maybe, just maybe, we'll hit your question in the next show. And until next time, I am the Broke Joe.
I am Etch.
And we're out.